Recent authority, it's 9:15 a.m. I'll call the meeting to order. Okay, so just briefly, I just want to highlight a couple things. We have a pretty big agenda today, so I'll make it brief. But first of all, happy first day of spring. Hopefully the weather will start getting better. But that's always good to have you know, cooler, warmer weather in spring. I wanted to mention just a couple things on Project 11. We're on time and on budget. We're still waiting for federal funding for the final leg, which is roughly, Roger, what, about $180 million?
Yes.
Plus or minus?
Yep.
Right, to keep it on track for an end of 2025 completion.
That's correct.
And we're meeting with Congressman Sylvie Garcia plus
Mitch Lando
from the administration who runs the bipartisan infrastructure bill this afternoon to talk a little bit about what's going on here. I want to thank everyone who has worked here and really done a great job keeping our business going, our port employees, the seafarers, the pilots, the ILA, all our team members really have done a great job, and we're just continuing to do well through the end of the first quarter and hopefully beyond that. Any commissioners have comments or? Okay, let's
steady as she goes.
Steady as she goes, absolutely. Thank you. Let's go ahead and then move on to the item C1, which is the approval of the minutes from our February 21st meeting.
Motion. Second.
Any questions, comments? Favor say aye.
Aye.
Thanks, Roger.
All right, good morning. Welcome, everyone. Chairman and commissioners, just do a few updates, first of all, on our operations so far this year. And the results of our cargo activities continue to remain solid for the first 2 months through February versus 2022. In fact, our overall tonnage is up 7% year-to-date compared to last year. That's collectively for all of our terminals. However, although our overall tonnage is up for the first 2 months in containers and in total tonnage, which is a message that's probably much different than you're hearing about and reading about for the U.S. overall. We, in fact, are now seeing some considerable softening of demand at our container terminals as well, especially in the import of containers in Houston. In fact, just this morning, Journal Commerce reported that U.S. imports from Asia hit a three-year low in February. So that's kind of been the message across the country. But in our budget for 2022, I want to remind everybody that we did anticipate this softening in demand. So from a financial perspective, we're tracking to our plan, though again, we're only 2 months into this year. So I just kind of wanted to temper the expectations of what's happening here through a stable beginning of the first of the year. Retail imports, in our country and regionally and across the country have a very high level of inventory in their distribution centers, and it's likely that import will continue to trend down during the first half of the year as they're selling off of these goods that they have in these distribution centers. But the expectations, as we believed when we put our plan together for this year, is that the recovery of the volume will start in the second half of the year. With the investments that we've made and continue to make in our region, those private industries that are making investments in the retail distribution centers that handle all these retail imports, we're confident that Houston will continue to be a priority for shippers as when the consumer demand continues to or surges once again. Now, on the flip side, our export volumes remain very strong, driven by the strength of things that we ship out in containers like plastic resins and petrochemical products in our region and delivered globally through Port Houston. Our export shippers have kind of signaled to us that 2023 will continue to be a solid year. So overall, you know, things are going as planned, and I think going to continue to be solid in Houston I'm going to let Jeff Davis comment on some of the specific things that are happening as a result of this internally, you know, at Port Houston. But, you know, we just look at this as an opportunity to take advantage of a short breather in this import demand and utilize the time to kind of reset and continue to aggressively invest in our capital improvements to our facilities to meet future demand. In fact, we have planned $1.4 billion in investments improvements over the next 5 years. So we're continuing that. In addition, with the rapid development of Project 11, the deepening and widening of the Houston Ship Channel to improve the efficiency and safety of the two-way traffic for the busiest waterway in the nation. So that's still carrying on, and these are all critical for serving all our industry facilities for the growth during the next generation. So we're on track. Some change in our world, imports softening, but exports continue to be strong here in Houston. So that's kind of the message, despite what you're reading maybe across across the country. Another thing of note is, I think Rich mentioned it at our last board commission meeting. Two weeks ago, we had a great meeting, and it was a visit from the Board of Trustees and the staff of the Environmental Defense Fund. I think that meeting went very well, and we believe it furthered our mutual understanding and cooperation. We met here in the boardroom and gave them an overview of the port and our Port Houston business. Then we got on to Sam Houston and took a tour, had a lot of good conversations. And I think the EDF kind of saw more in depth of how the port works on both the public and the private side of our channel. And I think we heard readiness for them to support our ESG goals and applications for the funding that we're going to be looking at going forward, like the IRA and the bipartisan infrastructure law. So anyway, I appreciate the EDF taking the time to visit and collaborate, and look forward to continuing this cooperative engagement as we move forward. I think it was healthy and it was a good meeting. So a couple other things I want to do. I like to recognize some of our folks here today. You see a line of our maintenance folks sitting in the background. What we have, we mentioned it before, we have our READY program that recognizes by peers in the organization for those that demonstrate those core values of respect, excellence, accountability, diligence, and this group over here are some of those that have been recognized as their peers. And we, once they receive all of those, and they're listed on the wall, they used to be listed on the wall. we got new signs.
How that wall?
But have achieved those recognized for those core values, they get what is called the Y Award, which is you. Which is very important. You, our fellow workers, those in the community, our customers. So we have several people here today. I'd like for them all to stand while I recognize for what they did. Reno Garza, Billy Guntro, Donald Giannata, Bodie Reynolds, Brandon Smith, Shane Stoic, David Merrill, Art Luna, Floyd Paley, Justin Brown, and Liddell Gilliard. These so it's about being recognized by others, and it's more than, yeah, they got a job to do. It's more than just doing their job. It's the way that they go about it. They're recognized, they're with the respect that they serve others in the organization. Yeah, they get the job done, but you know, the recognition is for many different things, whether they're constructing office buildings and working around people or going that extra mile. It's great for others that you work with to give you that recognition. All of them have achieved that, and I'm really proud of these folks for setting a great example of embodying our core values And today we recognize them for getting the Y Award. It's about you. So thank you very much, and we really appreciate what you all do each and every day. Thank you very much. And another special recognition, it's a great honor to recognize someone that I've had the opportunity to work with early in my career. Nina Armstrong, please stand up. Nina is celebrating her 40 years with Port Houston, and she started in 1983 as, we call them then, CRT operators. That's when we use CRTs, which we don't use anymore. She's done a lot of things, been in the maintenance department, in a very important administrative roles throughout her career. She's currently the maintenance support coordinator. I had the opportunity early in my career to spend, I don't know, more than a decade working with Nina, or working for Nina during that time. And she's everything, she's done a terrific job, and it's quite an honor. And Nina, I personally thank you for your service to the organization and everything you've done. 40 short years, they've flown by fast quickly, haven't they?
Thank you.
So thank you, Nina. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, the last thing, I want to recognize one other person. I want to mention that Charlie Jenkins, stand up, has been promoted to Chief Channel Infrastructure Officer for Port Houston. Charlie hates recognition, but I'm going to make him stand up. But I got to tell you, it's a well-deserved promotion for Charlie. He's been a tremendous leader for our channel development effort for many years. He's been through the whole organization for many, many years. How many years has it been?
33.
And the success that we've had to this expedited start and continued rapid delivery of Project 11 has been remarkable. And I can tell you it's been achieved through the relentless effort of Charlie's staff, but through his guidance of this. And I'm very proud of that. Along with more to come on ensuring that the maintenance improvements of the channel, they're not going away. We're going to continue to do that, and the strategic management of all of our infrastructure assets are critical to not only the port, but for our entire industry. So I appreciate this drive and passion and just getting things done, not just in the channel infrastructure, many, many areas, and professional leadership, and making sure that we're securing the success of the nation's busiest waterway. So, Charlie, congratulations. And that's all I have, Chairman.
Okay, great. Congratulations to everyone today. That was awesome being here, and it really humbles us, understanding that everything gets done every day by you folks in the field, and we thank you so much for what you do.
Rick, has any other comments here?
Well, just looking at these folks, I can tell they're strictly business.
Clearly.
They get the job
done. And the first day that I don't wear a court in a shirt, because I'm going to be here all day and have to see our congresswoman. So I dressed it up a little bit. But great. Well, thank you so much. Let's go now to the next item. You have something?
I'll just come and take pictures later.
Oh, you want to do it now?
You want to do it now?
Let's do it.
Sure.
Let's do it now.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So that means you're all going to get up here.
Yeah. she is on our 44.
Yes.
And then we have Barbara Smith in our engineering.
Yeah.
Now we got a gap of 2 years.
Yeah.
Part of the team, 14.
We're having our 40th wedding anniversary. Can't believe it.
Yeah.
Everybody get in there.
Five, five.
One, two, three. Awesome, thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm gonna stay here and try to sell that.
Yeah, right. Okay, our next item is appearances. We have a couple folks today. We have David McCoy, who is a trucker. Is he here or is he online? Online. Okay, David?
There I am.
There you go. Well, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, thank you for letting me speak before you. First of all, comms check. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm here to... Shoot.
There you go. You're good.
I'm here to talk to you about entitled drivers. One in about 20 of the truck drivers in the port believes they're entitled to whatever they wish. They push and they shove, and they use the threat of a crash to force people to give way to them. And because of the lack of enforcement and the tight quarters, it's just become the wild, wild west in there. I've even had drivers who chased me down outside the port and assaulted me because I dared to stand up for myself, because I generally call their bluff when they try to bluff me into a crash. I believe that the way that something needs to be done, otherwise you're going to keep on seeing mob action and vigilante stuff and things like that. The insidious thing about this is that that attitude of pushing and shoving is the only defense to that attitude. And so it spreads incredibly fast. When one person does it, suddenly it's the entire port. I would note that the port workers, the people that drive around in the Silverados and the contractors, they are the absolute worst at this. My educated guess is because they make one call to operations, and if I dare to stand up to them, I get thrown out. I make a call to operations and I get hung up on. I've addressed this problem with operations, who sent me to police, who sent me to operations, who sent me to police, who hung up on me. I've submitted a detailed list of proposals to the Bayport manager's office, and we'll see what happens. But I've been in the port for a year now. I came here from the oil field. And in the oil field, if you speed or you do anything dangerous, it's a $500 fine from the customer. And I've never seen so many people drive like angels when they're on the customer's property because they know everybody's watching. They know they will get a fine. So I know that it will work. I have additional proposals for an app and for some traffic control points if you guys want to hear that as well.
Well, we appreciate your comments, and Roger, you will look into this a little bit more, a little further, and make sure that we are as safe as we possibly can be.
Yeah, and who you sent those proposals? You can send proposal to me as well, or whatever, and I can assure you, you know, we don't condone unsafe working practices, but like to make sure the right people are hearing about these issues and complaints that you're having, Mr. McCoy.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you raising the issues.
Yeah, thanks for raising the issues. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Got to raise your hand if there's a problem. We appreciate that. Thank you. Any other questions or comments, commissioners? Okay, next in line is public citizen Rande Trevino. Are you online?
I'm here.
Oh, you're here?
Yes.
Rande, good to see you. Come on up to the front here.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi. Hi, good morning.
Morning.
My name is Andy Carino. I work with Public Citizen and primarily with the Healthy Port Communities Coalition. My question today is regarding, item I-1 in the agenda under finance. Regarding the revenue bonds, my question is, who would be repaying back the bonds? Would those be taxpayers repaying back the bonds, or would that be from Fort Revenue or something else?
The reason they're called revenue bonds is because the only source of repayment to these bonds are revenues that are generated by the port in the port, not taxpayers, not property taxes or anything like that. So these are standalone revenue bonds using the port's credit, which is very, very good.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
And, could you please just confirm how much those revenues would be, like the total, or do you don't have that number yet?
Sure.
Yeah, the plan to bond issue is between $400 and $425 million at this point.
Okay. And what are our annual revenues generally?
Annuals, for this year, we're expecting net cash generated around $300 million.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. And maybe just one last point on this is that over the years, we as the Port Houston have used tax payer bonds before, the general obligation bonds are called, and where the Harris County taxpayers pay the debt service for those bonds. And what the Port has done with those funds over the years, it has been to invest in our land side and our water side infrastructure. And what that has led to then is the ability for the Port to generate its own revenue and not have to rely on Harris County taxpayers to fund operations going forward. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't use general obligation bonds in the future. It just depends on what happens with our revenues, what the capital expenditure requirements are. The good news is that with our $1.1 billion Project 11 plan, and then Roger mentioned the $1.4 billion of capital improvements over the next 5 years, all of that is being funded either by internally generated cash flow that's happened over the last 5 or 6 years. We've generated a lot of cash flow and kept that in the bank for future investments, and also the revenue bonds that we did in 2021 and revenue bonds that are on this agenda for today. So we are not asking for general obligation bonds or any Harris County tax increases or Harris County bonds in any way. Doesn't mean that it won't be asked for in the future if the circumstances change, but right now the port is really strong and able to issue its own balance sheet. Okay, any other questions or comments, commissioners? Okay, let's go ahead and then move into executive. Tom, you're going to go through these?
Or virtually, Garrett's going to handle one and two.
Okay, perfect. That's right. I got it.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Presently, we currently consult with Brown Consultant and Mike Toomey and Associates to consult our state policy priorities. And we seek your approval to extend our 12-month agreement with them for continued consultation on state policy priorities.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Second. I'll vote to say aye.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So then F3 is to approve an amended Port of Houston Authority Promotion and Development Fund policy. This was discussed at the September 2022 meeting of the Community Relations Committee, and then also approved the final version at the February of 2023 committee meeting. So we're bringing it to the full commission for approval of such.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. No items on business equity. We have commercial. Christine, I think you're going to get us that. Thank you.
Hello. Good morning, Commissioner and
morning.
Chairman.
Morning.
I'm Christine Armascato. I'm the Director of Marketing, Branding, and External Communications, and I also manage the Research and Forecast team. The commercial division has four items for your review this morning. First, I just wanted to give you a couple of general updates from our division. This month, we launched a local mass media campaign, so you might be seeing us out in the market. This helps us continue to build awareness and affinity with our various stakeholders and community members near the channel. It helps promote what we do, as well as Project 11, that we're expanding the waterway, as well as that we help support jobs. So right now, we have 5 billboards up in the market. We also have a robust radio campaign targeting a variety of diverse audiences, and then a digital campaign as well. That'll be kind of going on and off throughout the rest of this year. This is done in addition to the campaign that we have focused on our customers. That is also done throughout the year. There's a digital campaign we're targeting on LinkedIn, as well as with a number of industry publications that are widely read as well. Also, some members of the team, including Dr. Gunther, John Mosley, just returned from TPM, the Trans-Pacific Maritime Conference, out in Long Beach, where they met with a number of customers. And tomorrow, Roger and John are also going to be speaking at the World Petrochemical Conference here in Houston. So lots of ways for us to get in front of customers and potential customers. And lastly, last week, several members of our team attended a groundbreaking ceremony for a new Packwell facility. This is a state-of-the-art resin packaging facility, 750,000 square feet. It's very exciting. It's expected to anchor about 20,000 export containers throughout our terminals when it's complete in Q1 of 2024. So a lot of really exciting things going on, a lot of ways that we're connecting with our customers and other stakeholders. So moving on to the agenda items, again, we have 4 items for your review. Today, one of them is marketing related and 3 are real estate. I want to particularly bring your attention to item H4. This is an amendment to the lease to the City of Galena Park for approximately 203 acres on the east side of Clinton. It was originally approved last summer. The City of Galena Park requested a change on the sublease to the operator of a horse riding club. The area is used for a public recreational area for the Great Falls community. And with that, I ask for your approval on items H1 through H4.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Well done. Continue. Okay.
Good morning.
Finley.
Good morning, Chairman.
Morning.
Commissioners. Thank you for your time. There are 2 items on the agenda, not insignificant comments items on the agenda this morning. Item 1 is seeking your approval for the initial steps toward the potential bond issuance later this year. By way of background, we estimate that the proceeds from the 2021 bond issuance will be fully expended by August or September of this year. And this second issuance will provide the funding necessary to complete the project for 2025. We will pay cash through 2026. These initial commission actions allow us to begin the process surrounding the bond issuance. Given the volatile markets that we've experienced, and certainly exponential by the banking industry events, while we begin preparing for this issuance, we intend to monitor the markets with our underwriters and advisors and then return to this body at the right time to make that go or no-go decision. We have several months to do that, so we'll be back to talk further about that at that time. Essentially, item I-1 is requesting your authorization for staff to pursue 3 things. 1, authorize the planning and preparation of the documents associated with the issuance. 2, to name the underwriting team that will present the port revenue bonds in the market. We have listed in the RCA that team, Morgan Stanley as senior manager, Loop Capital Markets LLC as co-senior, and Hilltop Securities, Inc. and Blaylock Van LLC as co-managers. And lastly, this item lists both co-bond and co-disclosure counsel as well for your approval. I'll pause there. Are there any questions on this item?
A motion?
Yes.
Move. Okay, items 1 and 2 under finance. Any other questions or comments?
I'm just going to abstain from 1 since I work with some of these firms.
Okay, absolutely. Note that Commissioner Montoya.
Also, I'm going to have to abstain because I work with one of the firms.
Okay, there you go. So we have 2 abstentions. All the rest, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay. Let's go to infrastructure. And Rich, you're going to be there. Here you are.
There I am.
Okay.
Good morning. First, I would like to reiterate Roger's comments about congratulating Charlie Jenkins. I think you used the phrase a while ago, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. We've been going together and going far with Charlie for a very long time. And actually what he does is he gets us to go far fast. Just want to make sure that recognition is made. Last month, Roger mentioned the EDF meeting. We also mentioned that we were going to have a meeting with a number of trucking companies to talk about the transition to zero-emission trucks in this neighborhood and in the region. And we did convene in this room about 20 companies that represent about 1 million visits to the port each year in terms of the volume. They're very excited. They gave us some very practical advice in terms of how this transition can work. Some questions about the, for example, the weight capacity of trucks and things like that. So that feedback is taken, and we're going to continue to pursue grants to assist and accelerate and de-risk those business decisions around transitioning to cleaner trucks in this neighborhood. Also, a few things that have been happening. We've met, and this is in concert with government relations and commercial. We met with the delegations from Sweden and Denmark here in this room, as well as Belgium. There were a lot of conversations at CERAWeek. And these are just indications of the excitement for the energy transition in Houston. And all of that excitement is somehow going to touch the port. You know, whether we are a landlord for a project or whether we are facilitating zero emission trucks and so forth. So there's a ton of excitement. That momentum is building. People are talking about the Inflation Reduction Act as game changing. So with that, I'll just talk about that. We have 9 items in the infrastructure section. With a total funding request of about $6.5 million. I'll just point out that the J2 is a contract for $500,000. It's a 2-year contract, $250 per year, to support resources in pursuing the grants and the business case analysis needed for the applications having to do with the Inflation Reduction Act and the bipartisan infrastructure law. A while ago, we mentioned that this money is actually a grant from the Katina Foundation to assist us, so it adds to the about $450,000 that you approved last fall to be going after some of these grants, the whole end purpose of these grants is to drive regional prosperity. So I'll just highlight that one. And then J3, 4, and 9 are related to the ongoing work of Project 11. If you have questions about that, I'll point you to Charlie. Item 7 and 8 involve Centerpoint. So with that, I'll ask for approval.
I'll move.
Or any questions?
Second.
Any questions or comments? And we will note that Mr. Quinn will abstain from the center point one. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thanks, Rich. Jeff, you're up.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. I'd like to revert. Since I only have one item to discuss today, I'd like to revert back to maintenance real quick. You know, a lot of people only think about maintenance when something's wrong, cranes down, lights don't come on. But you know, this body approves a lot of construction and those kind of things. And maintenance takes over. And we got 72 docks, about 1,500 acres of support land. Those guys are relentless around the clock. This building went down with electricity on Friday, working the center point, making sure the generators work, kept Donald Charles' IT equipment running. So I never miss an opportunity to recognize those guys, and I hope everybody else does too. But now I'm moving on to the volumes for the month. As Roger pointed out, he was talking more nationally. I'm going to drill down a little bit. You know, the container terminals, February of 22 was the lowest year. Last year was the lowest year that we've had in 2 years, lowest month, rather, in volumes for the container facility. So as we look at this month, it is up, but compared to the last 6 months of last year, it's starting to drop off. You know, February volumes didn't look good. TUs were up 6% for the year. Loads are up 15%, but empties declined, and and they were down 21%, and that's because those imports are dropping off. So we're not sending empties to Asia to come back as full loads. Bayport and Barber's Cut, they softened, and the, you know, it's consistent with things that we're starting to see in the industry. And it's also important to point out the last 3 weeks we really had some decline. That's what makes us think about the softening. You know, daily gate volumes are down really substantially over the last 3 weeks, and gang hours on ships are down. The density in our container yards are really starting to. We've got ample space coupled with the decline in dwell that we've been talking about. And you might recall, for the past 2 years, up until a few weeks ago, we've had a queue of ships waiting to get into our facilities. Peaked at about 30 ships at the container facilities about 6 months ago. That went out of 2 years, so we finally caught that up, and the queue is now zero. But with that, hey, there's some shining spots. Roger talked about the ability to pause, but the service levels have improved greatly. You know, we've got a target of 50 minutes for truck turn times. They've been averaging around 45 minutes since the beginning of the year. In the past few weeks, we've had them at 30 minutes quite a bit. So while our future volumes are uncertain, right now we're feeling a slugging. And one thing I'll say, I serve on a committee or task force that was put together. Retired General Stephen Lyons heads this thing, and he was appointed by the Biden administration to evaluate congestion last year, and these things have been going on for about a year. And, you know, we report L.A. and Long Beach and New York and Savannah, they're all on this call. There are railroads, importers and exporters. He kind of mixes those guys up. Everybody's been talking about a slowdown long before we've started to experience. So we're late to the slowdown party. That's a good thing. Roger mentioned the exports on the Houston Ship Channel, and that really helps us. The Houston Ship Channel creates a lot of exports for us, and that's something the other ports don't have going for them. But anyway, general cargo tonnage is down 25%, primarily related to bulk and steel. Our steel is down 9% year to date, and that's what really drives this place. You can look up into a few empty docks today. As we talk about our activity, we've been talking about that Saturday gate, and it's kind of run its course. April the 29th is our plan to shut that Saturday gate down. But one thing we've been using, on another note, we've been using our rail yard at Barber's Cut as a storage yard. So now with the decline, we've had some opportunities. We've been meeting with the two railroads, commercial guys, John and his group, and we also have some customer inquiries. So we think we're getting close to reopening that Barber's Cut rail ramp. And certainly we want to run to Dallas on that ramp, and we want to go a little further than that as well. So now I'll get to the one item we have, K1. If there are no questions about any of the other items. It's to award contract ABB to upgrade the software to six frames. The first six. At Barber's Cut and Bayport, and it's just a software upgrade. The software is no longer supported. It's for the safety emergency equipment on the crane. They have emergency stops on the ground. There's a problem, so Mike can walk over and stop the crane from operating. So, and I'd like to present the K1 for your approval.
So moved.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Any questions, comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thanks. Next passes. Okay, on the people side, Carolyn Ashton. Carolyn, how are you doing?
Morning, Carolyn.
Morning.
My name is Carolyn Ashton. I'm the Director of Employee Development and Engagement. Boy, I have been here 41 years.
Woo!
I'm working on my 42-year plan.
Oh, there you go.
Today I have the privilege of being able to present on behalf of my chief, Justin Shaver, for the People Division. Before I get to the item that we have on the agenda, I want to give some community updates, some important updates on that activity going on in the community engagement and investment efforts. First of all, the Port Commission Community Advisory Committee will be meeting today at 12:30. They'll be covering committee updates, community outreach, Project 11, and some sustainability updates. They also, there will also be information about the 2023 grant program. They have closed step one in the application process on March 3rd, and they have received 94 letters of interest, which is 10 more than last year's record and 20 more than 2021's record. So they have opened the full application process for 86 qualified applicants on March 13th, and that will be open for a month. And they'll be bringing final recommendations to the Community Relations Committee for review on June 27th. So that's more to come. Just a few highlights on my department that I want to talk about is the execution of our leadership development program, really key to the success of our organization moving forward. Our executive development program, we have 16 employees enrolled in that program, and our supervisor development program, where we have 10 employees currently enrolled in that program. So really important niches for succession in our organization. We are developing an internal mentorship program, so we are collaborating with our HR team and our DEI team on this effort. And we are working to enhance our recognition program, such as what you just saw with the READY program. That's one of our programs in employee development and engagement. So we'll be working on that program to get better and also introducing new programs as well. Then we will also be putting on a supervisor boot camp in June for all of our leaders, where we'll be having mandatory unconscious bias training for all of those leaders. So moving on to today's agenda item, the People Division has one item to renew a two-year option on the contract with Sum Total LLC. Sum Total provides our automated integrated interactive performance management and applicant tracking applications that are essential for identifying, onboarding, and managing our top talent, which provides those critical strategic directions for the court. They were selected because they, their only system that supports JDE and integrates with the court's current learning management system and talent management systems that we have. Thereby maintain that continuity that we need to keep moving forward. And just to note, these systems will be moving over to the next-gen ERP system, which is slated to roll out in 2025. So having said that, I would like to request your approval for item L1 if there are no questions coming in.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Carolyn. Okay. Captain Woodland.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. I have two items on the agenda today. The first one is a request to purchase another hazmat vehicle. You've seen the same request last 2 years. This is the third year in a row to recapitalize the fleet of three that we have. We still have not received the one we ordered in 2021. We did get word yesterday that it is ready for final inspection. So we are heading up to Citizens Park and going to take a look at that. But these are taking upwards of 2 years to receive.
Mm-hmm.
The second item on the list is the updated, let me make sure I get this right, member services agreement with CIMA, Channel Industry Mutual Aid. This is in typical Houston fashion. All the industries up and down the channel, all the facilities that have specialized firefighting brigades and equipment, that would help each other out if there is a crisis. We've been a member, a founding member, since 1955. They've updated their bylaws and they've updated their member services agreement, so we're bringing that to you today to sign. There is no cost to us to sign the agreement. We do pay annual dues of $1,000 per terminal each year for a total of $3,000. And with that, I'll take any questions and request your approval.
A motion?
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. The we have nothing on technology, so not this week. Thanks. Okay. Let's. Next item is going to our executive session. Correct. Okay. So we don't have Eric here, so he's going to leave.
Hi.
Yeah. I'm ready whenever you are.
Eric.
Yeah. Go ahead. It is now 10 a.m. The Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority of Harris County, Texas will now convene in a closed meeting as permitted by the Texas Open Meetings Act and the Government Code to conduct a private consultation with attorneys under Section 551.071 of the Texas Open Meeting Act, including consultation regarding 1. TCW Inc. versus Evergreen Shipping Agency Corp. and Evergreen Line Joint Service Agreement, Federal Maritime Commission, docket number 1966. 2. Transportation Code, Chapter 431, Subchapter D. And 3, proposed amendments to the agreement for legal services with Boyer, Miller, and Bracewell, LLP, deliberate regarding real estate under Section 551.072 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, including disposition of Pelican Island property and possible acquisition of Greater Fifth Ward property, 3, economic development negotiations or incentives under Section 551.087 of the Texas Open Meeting Act, and 4, employment and evaluation of public employees under Section 551.074, of the Texas Open Meeting Act, and 5, security-related matters, sections 418175 and 418183 of the Texas Government Code, and section 551076 of the Texas Open Meeting Act. The Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned. So we're ready to clear the room.
Thank you. Okay, we are going to go back into a normal session. It's 10:36 on March 20th. We're now reopening the Port Commission meeting. So let's go ahead and deal with some of the issues that we had. Clyde, why don't you go ahead and...
Okay. I move to authorize the Port Authority to enter into an interlocal agreement with the City of Galveston with respect to Seawood Park on the terms discussed in the executive session, and authorize the executive director to do all things necessary to give the effect to the foregoing.
Second. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Perfect. Okay. Go ahead, Dean.
I think that's legal.
That's fine.
Okay. I move to authorize the Port Authority to amend the agreements for legal services with Boyd, Miller, and Bracewell, LLP on the terms discussed in executive session, and to authorize the chief legal officer to do all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Second. Any questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Next item on the agenda is executive general, which is Tom. You're going to go through that?
Yes, I am. Q1 is to authorize the creation of the Port of Houston Local Government Corporation. This is going to be for to facilitate the acquisition and development of a new office building in East River and allow us to move that process forward. We will be coming back later with some applications and the development of the board and right now the board will be the Port Commission, but we have to go through the paperwork once we get the corporation established.
Okay, is there a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. Okay, that concludes our agenda. Our next meeting is on May the 2nd, which is coming up. So that's our April meeting. It has to happen in May. So, I appreciate everybody's time today. Commissioners, any closing comments? All right, great. So we stand adjourned. Thank you.